Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I have a question for you this morning. How much do you like your friends? Like, do you care about them at all? Do you love your friends? I hope that you do. And if you do care about your friends at all, what is it that you talk about with them? Do you talk about sports? Do you talk about things as trivial as the weather, things you have no control over whatsoever? Perhaps all you can talk about right now is the fact that there is unrest, there is no peace throughout the world. When was the last time you talked to your friend about Jesus? Because the fact is, if you really love your friends, you will tell them about the most important thing that there ever is that they could hear. And that isn't how the weather is going to be tomorrow. That isn't whether or not Jordan Love is the next Aaron Rodgers or Brett Favre. It isn't any of those things. It's that Jesus Christ has died for your sins and for theirs. How much do you actually like or love your friends? When you gather with them, when you call them or text them or snap them or whatever it is you young people do, when you talk to them, when you reach out to them, when you spend time with them, that's a wonderful thing. But they need to know more than anything else, Jesus. The man in our gospel lesson for today had friends that truly loved him. He was a paralytic. He was paralyzed. He could not walk. And his friends had heard about the mighty deeds of this Jesus. They knew that Jesus was healing, that Jesus was granting forgiveness. And so what do? They see their friend in need, and they bring him to the most important place of all. Jesus has just re-entered the city of Nazareth, and he is teaching in a house. And while St. Matthew does not include these words, St. Mark and St. Luke do. That when his friends bring him to the entrance of the door, it is so jam-packed. There are so many people present to hear and see Jesus that they can't get him in. But that does not deter them. They love this man so much, they know that he needs Jesus. And so they hoist him up to the top of the roof, they put a hole in the roof, and lower him down. Now, Terry has requested I ask that you not do that, since our roof is brand new this year. But you can see the love and the devotion that these people have for their friend. More than anything else, this man needs Jesus. And you and I are in the exact same position. How the weather is tomorrow does not save me. How sports ball teams or how an arc on a TV show are going cannot save me. Only faith in Jesus Christ can save me. And so they lower their friend whom they love down that he might see Jesus. And as this paralyzed man is laying there all of a sudden in the middle of a ruckus, because again, the roof is now open and he has been lowered, what does Jesus do? He could rebuke. He could say, "Why would you do such a thing?" But instead, he sees this man who is in desperate need. And what does Jesus say to the young man? He says, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." Jesus sees this man who is so desperately in need, and he gives him the most important thing that he could give him, the forgiveness of sins. Because I promise you, regardless of how your sports turn out, regardless of how the weather is tomorrow, regardless if you are paralyzed, if you are deaf, if you are blind, if you are mute, you can enter into heaven regardless of all of those things. But you cannot enter heaven unless your sins are forgiven. Repentance is the key. That we come before an almighty, all-loving God and we lay our sins on Jesus. We look upon his cross and we cry out for his mercy, for his forgiveness. Your sins are forgiven. Billy and Henry have parents who love them so much that they would lay their children before Jesus. That they would bring them here so that Jesus might be with them. That Jesus might bless them. That Jesus may be in the water, attaching his word to it, and bring them the forgiveness of sins and claiming them as his own. The fact is that this place is not so filled that you have to go through the roof. There is so much more room, and we would gladly pack the whole halls full of people that they might see not me, but that they might see Jesus. You are gathered here today for the same purpose, that you might see him. That you might look upon him, that you might hear of him, that you might receive the forgiveness of sins, one, not because you and I are perfect, but because Jesus was perfect. He died the death that we deserve so that we could get his life. That's the point. All of these people out there are broken, and they need Jesus. So many in our world will turn to other things. They'll turn to drugs or alcohol as though somehow that can encourage them not to be sad, not to be hurt. But the fact is that drugs and alcohol cannot fill that void. Jesus can. We must put away the things of this earth and look upon him who can save us. The scribes see what Jesus has said. How dare he forgive sins? Who is he? God? Jesus, being exactly that, God, knows their thoughts, and he says, why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and walk? Jesus cannot blaspheme because he is God in the flesh. He is eternally begotten of his Father. Before all worlds, the second person of the Trinity is present and active in creation. And then according to his Father's will, he submits himself to take on flesh in the womb of a virgin, to be born and to die for sinners like you, me, and the people outside these walls today. People oftentimes think that the church is filled with hypocrites because we think we don't sin. The fact is that that isn't the truth. The fact is that we know we are sinners. But we also know that we have a Savior who is bigger than our sin. We have a Savior who we can cry out to. A Savior who we approach in repentance on contrite knees. We cry out to him for his forgiveness. And we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he forgives us because he loves us. The difference between a Christian and a non-Christian isn't that we think we're better or that we're not sinners. It's because we confess our sins to Jesus and know that he forgives us. And that is what your friends need more than anything else in this world. They need to know Jesus. The God who took on flesh for sinners like you and me and them. Jesus does the most important thing for this man possible. He forgives him his sin. He reconciles him to himself. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he turns the paralytic and says, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. This day, regardless of how you walked in, I pray that you walk out a little bit higher, with a little bit more joy at the fact that your sins are forgiven. That with a repentant heart, you approach an almighty God and you cry out for his mercy, and he has heard you and he has answered your prayer. While we don't have a ton of people coming in here on crutches and walking out on their own 2 feet, what we have is far greater. And that is the forgiveness of sins. That when you remember your own baptism, as you wash that water with the word poured out today, as you remember that you are a child of God, that you have been purchased and won by the same blood of Christ that purchased and won them, that you are forgiven. That when God borrowed a sinful man this morning to proclaim to you, I have forgiven you your sins in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that you truly believe that by those words, not because of who I am, but because of who he is, your sins are forgiven. That as you kneel at this altar today in full unity of confession of faith, that what we receive today is not just the spiritual Jesus, but the physical Jesus. Because we as Lutheran Christians confess that by his body and blood, he joins himself at his word to this bread and wine. That what we receive is not symbolic, it is not a representation. It is his body and blood given and shed for us, and that when we receive it, we receive the forgiveness of sins. Our faith is strengthened, and it leads us to eternal life. When you talk to your friends whom you love, tell them about Jesus. And I don't expect that you are able to perfectly give apologetics to them. I don't expect that you have the Book of Concord memorized so fully that you can have an entire conversation about all the points of doctrine of Lutheranism. But I do expect you to know enough of your Bible and the small catechism as a simple explanation of it that you can point people to Jesus. And you can encourage them to come to the most important place that you should have in your life, and that is the house of the Lord. That when you gather with your brothers and sisters in Christ, you desire your friends whom you love to be with you too. And you share with them that while the first few times they won't be able to come and kneel with you, because that requires full unity of faith, full unity of doctrine, that as we commune together around this altar, we confess absolutely what is preached from this pulpit, what is confessed at this altar, and we do that in joy. But that your prayer for them is for the day when they can kneel side and side with you to receive that forgiveness. When the multitude saw what Jesus had done, they marveled, they glorified God who had given such power to men. When you leave here today, I hope that when you speak to your friends again, you will marvel at the things that God has done in your life, that you will be so filled with joy and hope in the things that are to come. We spend so much time thinking and talking about what happens in this 70, 80, 90 years of life, and we forget that we are eternal beings, that there is an eternity that is to come. The fact is that your friends will confess the name of Jesus Christ on the last day when he returns. But unless they confess him in their lives now, before they die, they will confess Jesus Christ to their eternal judgment and damnation. If you love your friends, if you love your relatives, nothing will stop you from sharing this message. That you desire to see them confess Jesus for all eternity in the new heavens and the new earth, where there will be no more pain, where there will be no more war, no more bloodshed, no more death. All these things will pass away. The Jesus who forgave the sins of that young man in our gospel lesson is the same Jesus who forgives you your sins. who forgives me of my sins and forgives all the repentant who would come before him. The church sings. Penitent sinners, for mercy crying, pardon and peace from him obtain. Ever the wants of the poor supplying, their faithful God he will remain. He helps his children in distress, the widows and the fatherless. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise all you people, the name so holy of him who does such wondrous things. All that has being to praise him solely, with happy heart its amen sings. Children of God with angel host, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Alleluia, alleluia, amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.